I have never in all my life heard or seen God's word so abused as it is by politicians in 2015. I've heard more stupid stuff than I ever thought I'd hear. And what bothers me even more with the stupid stuff, there are the stupid people who say, isn't that wonderful? I want to ask you all a question. Now, here's a hard question. Are you evangelical? If you are, I want you to raise your hand. Okay? Are you evangelical? Yeah, we are. And I'm tired of it being robbed by nutcases. I'm telling you. Evangelical is to witness for Jesus Christ. What I said to the kids, the hardest thing in the world. And I want to tell you, it's been robbed from its original setting. And I was joking with Ted before church. I never knew the pyramids were built to store grain. And I thought to myself, what an abuse of scripture or history or common sense. Really? And I know college students are probably saying, boy, the world's turning dumb. And I saw an article in Atlantic where the dumbing of America. And I thought, boy, oh boy, are we in trouble. And we hear it within the framework of the church. This past week when I visited Ginger Smith in Lakeland Regional Hospital, a minister confronted me in the lobby. I love to be confronted in the lobby of a hospital. Are you still doing things in Bartow? I said, all depends on what you think I'm doing. Yes. I said, yeah, I'm still in Bartow. I said, been there almost finishing 9 years. I said, it seems like home. What kind of people are they? I said, mostly white. True. It's a good church. I said, they're mission-minded. But are they evangelical? I said, for the most part. We have a few harebrained people, but I said, all churches have that. Do you believe that you've been saved by Jesus Christ? I said, occasionally. I love to do that to preachers. You've got to know this. And I'll say some outlandish things usually if it's a preacher that I really want him to get out of my way. He did. The story of Ruth has a big picture story of redemption, really. There are no prophecies in Ruth. None. There are no big orders from God about anything in the story of Ruth in the Bible. There really aren't. And there was an argument at one time when they were putting together all of the New Testament, should we keep some of these books in the Old Testament? And one of the books they argued about was Ruth. But there's something to it. And I feel it's timely enough for a sermon, which is why I'm preaching on it this morning. So if you'll open your Bibles, Ruth is in the Old Testament, by the way. I wanted to make sure that you knew that in case anybody asks, do we? In your Bible, that's on page 260. We're going to read the third chapter. I'm reading five verses, and then I'm going to the fourth chapter and just a couple of verses there. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, remember Daniel saying about it? Isn't that, that impressed me. My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you've been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he'll be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes, then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you're there until he's finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. Skipping over to the fourth chapter, verse 13. I'm leaving a lot of the X-rated material out. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. And the women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. So the story of Ruth really is one of those stories that's there that sort of gives you a link to get up to David, if we're talking about it in rounding terms. That's what we're looking at. It goes without saying, we see Ruth, a very spectacular example of faithfulness. This shows the story, if you condense it into real quick terms, how and what it means to follow God's way, and what kind of an impact on how people encounter and can care for one another. It's logical then that when we take the whole story of Ruth, it's a story about the way of the Lord. Now, I'm going to skip, I told you, all of the X-rated material that led us up to where we were, because that's not important. Her midnight encounter with Boaz, the point is that she encouraged Boaz, and that's in the in-between. She encouraged Boaz in a very intimate setting as a next of kin, in the Hebrew word Gael, G-A-E-L, Gael, Gael. This means much more because in other parts of the Old Testament, it means my Redeemer lives. When I ask the kids about redeem and redemption and where did it come from, and they said redeem is the root. Yeah, Gael. And Ruth is telling Boaz that God lives and God restores and God gives hope and God brings justice, not punishment. And she tells all of that in between, before she marries, before she has a baby. Because the root of Gael, the root of redemption, is vitally important to the people of Israel when we go through the entire Old Testament epic. God gives hope, God brings justice, God brings love, not punishment. Oh yeah, judgment's there. It comes in. But this statement reminds us that God indeed guards and protects us in all of life. And this is what she's trying to convey to Boaz. Redeemers have responsibility to protect us from economic and physical violence, and according to Hebrew law, are the next of kin who guard and protect us when we are vulnerable. Remember when Naomi said to Ruth, "Go to Boaz, plead for Boaz, plead for him in a very intimate way. About my people, about the people that we are responsible for." That's what she did. When Ruth asks Boaz to cover her with his cloak, she says, it reminds me of what God does, Yahweh. What God does to protect all of the human beings that are around us. And what it means and has meant to her and Naomi, where God has protected and governed and loved them after they've lost everything. There's no doomsday here. There is none. This story is a vital part of our heritage because it becomes the example of how we should follow in the way of the Lord. That's the inkling that I want to share with you when we talk about God's redemption. It shows us that redemption is indeed the way of the Lord. It even becomes more real when God takes on flesh and blood and walks this earth and goes all the way to the cross in Jesus Christ. And we talk about redemption easily and quickly, but we forget what it means to be redeemed and to follow when we don't want to. We live in a time of easy faith. And I wasn't joking when I say the dumbing down of America. When people don't want to study or understand the scriptures. When people don't want to really go any further than where they are in terms of the nose on their face when it comes to matters of faith. I don't want to read anything like that stuff. But it's that stuff that expands your faith. It's that stuff that leads you and guides you. Jesus never turns us away from Him. Jesus in the Spirit gently covers us with His cloak of love and hope when things look bleakest and we don't even understand why. Talking to another friend this week, I told him about the incident in the hospital. And we were talking about what faith means. And he said, isn't it a shame that when we're younger, we don't really realize how faith grows with us? And how much faith can sustain us, even in life's darkest moment? And I said, you're right. You're right about that. Faith is never a magic come on. It's something you grow into and you grow with and you follow through on. And you want someone around you. That's the church. You want someone around you that can understand what your faith is all about. And that's why we're in the church business, my friends. In Ruth, we see steadfastness. We see faithfulness. Even when she could have been blamed for abandoning her mother-in-law. We see that this is what it means to follow in the way of the Lord. Ah, but then there's something else. How wonderful it is in Jesus. Jesus. We finally see the way of the Lord walking on the earth and the way life should be and can be. You don't just give lip and tip service to Jesus Christ. You either give Him your whole life or none at all. That's the way it is. That's the way of redemption. That's the way of Christ. God, our Father, we're grateful that You give us the Spirit of love. Forgive us when we try to dumb down our faith. Lift us up. Help us to grow. Help us to mature. Help us to see Your Spirit through Christ. Amen.